Kaya para sa marami, ang eskwela ay nag-umpisa na itong nakaraang linggo. Sa iba naman, ay itong linggo pa lamang mag-uumpisa. Yung aming GMA, Grace Ministerial Academy, will open on June 14. Gumaya sa amin ang Diliman. Sa June 14 din sila. But anyway, because of this opening of classes, ginagawa natin ang ganitong panahon ay pag-aaral sa mga bagay na magmo-motivate sa atin sa ating pag-aaral, because we believe that Christians have the most well-formed understanding and motivation as far as acquisition of knowledge is concerned. Yung pagkuha natin ng kaalaman ay sa makakristyanong motibasyon ay dapat napakaganda ng ating attitude, ng ating saloobin sa pag-aaral. But of course, through the years, may mga challenges dito at pinag-aralan natin last week yung tinatawag na fanaticism. And fanaticism is that attitude that considers only Christian sources as legitimate venue of knowledge. At ang nangyayari ay inaayawan nila o kaya ay nilalabanan nila kapag ang source ng knowledge ay hindi nila tinuturing na Christian. And I say that is fanatical because of our belief in what we call general revelation. Nagpahayag ang Diyos ng pangkalahatan sa lahat, hindi lamang sa Biblia, bagamat naniniwala tayo na ang Biblia ang tinatawag na special revelation. It is through the Bible that we learn salvation, but God has revealed Himself through creation and even through humanity. Meron siyang ipinapahayag tungkol sa kanyang sarili. Therefore, they are a legitimate source of knowledge at dapat nating gamitin. So we reject fanaticism in all its forms. But sa history, nakita natin yung iba't ibang forma niyan, whether in terms of yung Inquisition o Quakerism as well as separatism, may mga kanya-kanyang pananatili sa saloobin, bagamat yung iba rito ay nawala na, pero yung saloobin na sinimula ng mga ito ay nananatili pa rin at yun ang ayaw natin na mangyari. So we reject fanaticism because it fails to accept the presence of God in the whole world. The right attitude to adopt is what we will consider this morning, and I want to call it by its historical representation. Pwede kong tawagin ito ng ibang mga bagay, pero I want the historical representation of this as the way for us to understand itong right attitude to knowledge. I'll call it by that movement in England in 17th century known as Puritanism. So Puritanism, madalas itong i-depict ng isang family gathering kung saan yung tatay ay nagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos sa kanyang pamilya, pero hindi lamang salita ng Diyos, itinuturo niya yung maraming mga bagay. In other words, the family was considered the first school, not just for scriptural studies, but the first school in grammar, in everything. Yan yung Puritan family. At meron sila, in other words, from the very beginning, ay binigyan sila ng tamang attitude as far as knowledge is concerned. Now, that is what attitude we should be adopting, the Puritan attitude. Ano ba itong Puritan? Well, sa marami, Puritan, brand ng damit, t-shirt, medias. Pero sa history, there is also a common misunderstanding of what Puritanism is, because the word Puritan, in fact, started as a term of abuse. Hindi sila mismo ang nag-adopt nito, kundi inilagay sa kanila. Kumbaga, tinawag silang Puritan because of their concern for purity. But it has been used in very abusive ways. There is this very oft-repeated comment about the Puritans na siguro yung madalas yung mababasa sa mga hindi talaga nakakaalam ng Puritanism. May nagsabi na a Puritan is someone who is afraid someone in the world is happy. Takot siya na meron tao sa mundong masaya. Inulit-ulit siya at madalas na marinig yung ganyang bagay. And that is so far from the truth. Ang Puritans, mahilig sa dance. They love to dance. They love music. And marami silang ginagawa na hindi mo akalaing ginagawa nila because of this misconception. So we need to correct that misconception and come back to who the Puritans really were. So itong mga Puritans ay bahagi ng 17th century religious life in England. They were originally, historically, part of the Church of England who applied Reformation. Labuna, but this is from the Fox's Book of Martyrs, depicting the zeal of the Protestants and the Puritans in removing all forms of Romanist rituals from their churches. So, dinidepict dyan na inaalis nila yung mga idols, images, icons, at iba't iba pang mga bagay na associated with Catholic ritual because they were zealous about Reformation. So, these were the Puritans. They were originally part of the Church of England. Ang alam niyo, Church of England, yan ang established church sa England. Hanggang ngayon, nandiyan pa yan. It is still established church. Wala sila yung tinatawag nating separation of church and state. In fact, the Queen of England today, among her titles is Fides Defensor or Defender of the Faith, which means she is the titular head of the Church of England and she is committed to defend the faith of the Church of England. Now, itong Church of England, dito nakabilang ang mga Puritans sa original until in the year 1662, ay nagkaroon ng sunod-sunod ng mga edicts, codes, mga batas na nagre-require sa lahat ng conformity with all the rituals of the Church of England. Eh, nung panahong ito, ang mga namumuno sa Church of England ay very ritualistic. Pinamumunuan ng bantog sa kanyang kalupitan na si Archbishop Laud. Gumawa siya ng mga sunod-sunod na batas hanggang sa nag-culminate sa 1662 na ang tawag ay Act of Uniformity na nire-require ang lahat na sumunod, makiayon sa mga ritual ng simbahan o mawawalan sila ng pwesto sa kanilang ministeryo. And most of the Puritans decided to leave their ministries in the Church of England in their thousands. So in their thousands ang lumabas ng Church of England because of this Act of Uniformity. So sila ngayon yung tinatawag nating mga Puritans historically. Now, theologically, yan yung Westminster Confession of Faith. Yan ang teolohiya ng Puritans. Invisible. Well, anyway, that's the Westminster Confession of Faith, which was published in 1649. Alam niyo yung ating sinusundang confession, yung tinatawag nating 1689 Confession of Faith. Sumunod dyan sa malaking bahagi ng Westminster Confession, umiba lang sa ilang bagay, particularly sa chapter on the church and also on baptism. Dahil, of course, we are Baptists, but for the most part, we copied verbatim itong Westminster Confession, and that is their theology. Kaya kung i-define natin ang Puritans theologically, they were Reformed, they were Calvinistic. Of course, many of them were Presbyterians or Pedobaptists, but nonetheless, their theology was totally Reformed. Pero what is interesting to us ay yung kanilang vocational, yung may ibibigay nating vocational position nila. They believed in valuing all of life in relation to God. And because everything in life is to be done in relation to God, that means every activity has its relation to God and therefore has a sacredness. Makikita po natin dito yung hindi nila pagsang-ayon dun sa ginawa ng Roman Catholic Church na pagkahati sa sacred and secular, na yung mga bagay na ginagawa ng simbahan, yun ang sacred, sa labas ng simbahan, yan ay secular na. Hindi nila sinang-ayunan yan. Para sa kanila, everything is accountable to God, therefore everything is sacred. Of course, there is something special when you attend church and worship God, but it doesn't mean that outside the church, hindi mo na ginagawa para sa Diyos. So everything is sacred, halimbawa, the masterpiece in Puritan literature concerning this, marami nagsulat tungkol dito, but the masterpiece is considered that of Richard Baxter's Christian Directory. Alam po yun, meron ako niyan, napakakapal na libro, directory yan sa lahat ng mga bagay na may kinalaman sa buhay Kristiyano. Directory, for example, in the Christian household, directory in the use of your talents, directory, meron pa siyang directory for the body, directory for the use of the ears, directory for the use of the eyes. Talagang comprehensive itong directory na ito. Now, what is interesting ay yung kanyang directory when it comes to one's work, one's vocation. Take for example some of his rules. Choose that employment or calling in which you may be most serviceable to God. Choose not that in which you may be most rich or honorable in the world. Be diligent in your callings and spend no time in idleness. Perform your labors with holy minds to the glory of God and in obedience to His commands. Idleness is a robbing God who is the Lord of us and all our faculties. So kapag kayo idle, ay active stealing of God's time. Take pleasure in your work and then you will not be slothful in it. Eh, yung nagsabing a Puritan is one who is afraid someone is happy is simply not true. They took pleasure in their work and then this interest of God in your lowest and hardest and servilest labor doth make it honorable and should make it sweet. So, ganyan ang pananaw nila sa mga ginagawa natin sa inyong trabaho. Gawin ninyo alang-alang sa Diyos at maging maligaya kayo sa inyong ginagawa. So, these were the Puritans. They valued life in relation to God. Now, apply this to knowledge. Itong gusto natin mangyari. Tingnan natin paano sa Puritans, yung ganitong attitude ay inilagay nila sa edukasyon, sa kaalaman, sa pagtatamo ng mga natututuhan. Ihatiin natin sa dalawang bahagi sapagkat ang mga Puritans ay yung impluensya nila ay naramdaman sa dalawang bahagi in England and then later on, many of them migrated to America. Kaya may tinatawag tayong English Puritanism and American Puritanism. And in both places, they left their influence, their mark on knowledge. Going to English Puritanism, some of the greatest geniuses and works of masterpieces were Puritan. Bibigyan ko lang kayo ng dalawang halimbawa. Marami yan, pero ang una ay John Milton, 1608 to 1674, considered even by non-Christian experts as one of the greatest poets in the English language. Maganda, meron kayo dapat mong kanyang Paradise Lost man lang. Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained. That's his masterpiece. Or get a collection of his sonnets. Eh, yan naman ay available. Mura lang yan sa bookstore. And his poetry were really masterful. He was converted during his youth in a church where the pastor was a Puritan, Richard Stock. And he was educated in a college that was considered Puritan, known as Christ's College. That's Christ's College in Cambridge University. Well, kagaya rin natin, pag may university, may iba-ibang colleges. Yun nga lang, tawag natin sa mga colleges dito ay yung kanilang main course. So, College of Physical Sciences, College of Arts, etc. Sa kanila, tinatawag nila by name. It happened that the college to which John Milton belonged and where he studied was known as Christ's College in Cambridge University, known as a Puritan college. And he embarked on his poetry because he tried to be in the ministry but was disallowed by the Anglican Church. So, kung hindi ito naging poet, gusto niya sana una magpastor. Eh, mukhang hindi doon ang kanyang qualification. So, he regarded therefore poetry as his next calling. And in fact, his regard for poetry was that it was beside the pulpit in dignity and influence in society. So ganyan yung pananaw niya sa tula. Pagdating sa dignidad, pagdating sa impluensya, katabi siya ng pulpito. This was a time when the pulpit was once the most influential venue of the most influential voice in society was the pulpit. Today, it's the talk show. But noon, pulpit ang malakas na impluensya sa lipunan. And according to John Milton, beside the pulpit is poetry. He was also active in politics. He became, in fact, the Latin secretary of Oliver Cromwell. Sa inyong nag-aaral ng kasaysayan, nagkaroon ng civil war ang England in the 1640s nung hindi magkasundo ang royalty at ang parliament. Tataka kayo, hindi mangyayari yan ngayon. Halimbawa, nag-away ang Malacanang at ang Congress, hindi yan magsi-civil war. Pero noon, nagkaaway ang royalty at ang parliament, lumikha ng sarili niyang army ang parliament, may sariling army itong royalty, yung monarchy, nagbanggaan sila. Now, yung leader ng parliament ay, yung leader ng army ng parliament ay si Oliver Cromwell. So that was the English Civil War, na uwi sa pagkatalo ng royalty dahil napakagaling na general, napakagaling na commander nitong si Oliver Cromwell. Pero itong si Oliver Cromwell ay isang Puritan. At may nagsabing contemporary noon na sa lahat ng nakita niyang army, ito yung pinaka-godly na army. Pag sinabi mong army, kadalasan nandyan yung mga all kinds of curses and vices, but in the case of Cromwell's army, it was known for its godliness, for its discipline, and he won all battles that he fought. Now, Milton functioned as the secretary of Cromwell in Latin language. Dahil isa sa mga official languages noon pa rin ay Latin, at ito ang naging trabaho ni John Milton. But his main vocation was still poetry. Among his greatest works were, of course, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, then you have Samson Agonistes, and his sonnets. What is so wonderful about this is that all his greatest works were done and completed when he was blind. He was already totally blind when he accomplished all these great works. And his works manifest his Puritan conviction. Let me give you an excerpt from Paradise Lost. Hindi ako magaling tumulay, babasahin ko. But yet all is not done, man disobeying. Disloyal breaks his filthy and sins against the high supremacy of heaven, affecting Godhead, and so losing all to expiate his treason hath not left. But to destruction sacred and devote, he with his whole posterity must die. Die he or justice must, unless for him some other able and as willing pay the rigid satisfaction, death for death. Say, heavenly powers, where shall we find such love? Which of you will be mortal to redeem man's mortal crime and just the unjust to save? Dwells in all heaven charity so dear, and silence was in heaven and on man's behalf. He asked, but all the heavenly choirs stood mute. Patron or intercessor none appeared, much less than durst upon his own head draw the deadly forfeiture and ransom set. Now without redemption all mankind must have been lost, adjudged to death and hell by doom severe, had not the Son of God, in whom the fullness dwells of love divine, his dearest mediation thus renewed. Well, you see the theology running through those that verse is substitutionary work of the Son of God. And this is considered one of the greatest in the English language. And he was a Puritan. And he gave his best to his poetry. So this is one, John Milton. And then you have John Owen. John Owen is considered the greatest theologian, educator of the Puritan era in English Puritanism. Now, he was educated this time in Oxford University, And yung college naman niya ay Queen's College. He got his Bachelor of Arts 1632, Master's in 1635. Now under Archbishop Laud, I mentioned to you Archbishop Laud, that cruel and oppressive Archbishop of Canterbury ng Church of England, Owen, who was a leading Puritan, was driven out of Oxford. So, kumbaga, he suffered persecution as well. But Oliver Cromwell, again, recognizing the talent, the scholarship of John Owen, he took him as his chaplain. Kaya, kumbaga, makikita natin yung partnership dito ni Oliver Cromwell and John Owen. Oliver Cromwell took care of the military side. John Owen, as chaplain, took care of the spiritual side of the army. And remember, during those times, the chaplaincy was considered a real pastorate. Ngayon, yung chaplain ay parang position na lang na professional in the military. But in those days, the chaplain was the soldier's pastor. He was taken seriously. And so here was both Oliver Cromwell and John Owen in partnership in having an army that was well-trained, disciplined, and at the same time, godly. Now, when the Archbishopric of Laud finished, na-restore yung parliament under the leadership of Oliver Cromwell, and Oliver Cromwell was offered the monarchy, the kingship, he refused. Instead, he was given the title Lord Protector. So, yun siya yung Lord Protector of England during his incumbency. And during that time, he appointed John Owen to become Dean of Christ Church. Now, yung Christ Church, yan ang Christ Church, yan po'y college pa rin. But because it also doubled as cathedral, kaya tinawag siyang Christ Church, but it is still a college, and John Owen was the Dean of Christ Church in Oxford University. And later on, he became Vice Chancellor of the university. So, yan yung naging influence ni John Owen. Until today, John Owen's complete writings are still in print. I have those writings. 16 volumes of his treatises. Bawat volume, several of his writings. Then, apart from the 16 volumes, he has 6 volumes of commentary just on the book of Hebrews. Kung gusto mo talaga ng napaka-comprehensive na pag-aaral ng book of Hebrews, yun, 6 volumes na pagkakakapal. Hindi ko pa nakakalahati yun. But it's a masterful commentary. So, yan si John Owen. So, dalawang example lamang yan of people who, because they believe that their knowledge should be dedicated to God, pursued it with excellence. Whether in poetry, as in the case of John Milton, theology, as in the case of John Owen, and also when it came to education, John Owen again, they pursued their acquisition of knowledge with excellence. Now, tumawid tayo ng Atlantic. The Puritans, again, came under severe persecution in England. And at a certain point, many of them believed there was no hope for real reformation in England. And they believed that liberty of conscience must be pursued. So many of them crossed the Atlantic and by the famous ship of Mayflower. So, yung Mayflower ship, maraming namatay riyan sa pagtawid lang ng Atlantic as they went through storms, etc. But nakalapag rin sila sa Massachusetts. At when they landed in Massachusetts, among the first things they did when they established the colony was education. And through education and governance, they fathered what became the greatest nation in history, the United States of America. Maririnig niyo kung minsan yung mga presidents, pag sila nagbibigay ng kanilang speeches or inaugural address, they will make reference to the Pilgrim Fathers. Ito yun. The Pilgrim Fathers were those who came from England, crossed the Atlantic, began establishing colonies in what they then called New England, bago ito tinawag na United States of America. Ang itinawag nila sa lugar na kanilang pinaglagyan dahil galing silang England, gusto nilang magbago to, eh, tawag nila New England. So yung lugar na yun hanggang ngayon ang tinatawag na New England. So yan yung kanilang pinagsimulan, yung pinakauna nilang town, Jamestown, at dito sila nag-start. At ang isa sa mga una nilang ginawa ay mag-establish ng college. And guess what that college was? Harvard. Harvard College was founded in 1636, which later became what we now call Harvard University. And we know that Harvard University is the oldest university in the United States. What many do not realize is that it was Puritan in origin. It's one of the best today, one of the best schools in the world. Yet, well, what we should not forget is that it was one of the early acts of the colony founded in Massachusetts, ang Harvard College. It was named after its first benefactor, yung naglaan ng kanyang pera para magkaroon ng college, John Harvard. John Harvard was a Puritan. And so the college to which his beneficence was bequeathed ay tinawag na Harvard College. At alam nyo bang, it is one of the best in the world, and its motto is in that one word, veritas, truth. Hindi yan yung Radio Veritas, pero veritas is truth. At yan yung motto ng Harvard ngayon. Wag lang natin kalimutan na this was started by Puritans with a Puritan conviction concerning knowledge. Now, take note of one of the original rules of the college. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. Well, this is Harvard. This is their origin. This is their conviction. At huwag natin kalimutan na yung kanyang galing, the excellence of Harvard is originally founded upon a conviction of God-revealed truth, God-owned truth. Ako man ay nagtuturo sa Harvard, Harvard Street ng Cubao, doon po ang GMA, doon ako nagtuturo. Then, ayoko namang malimutan natin na kasama sa mga kababaihan yung nag-acquire ng ganitong knowledge, so I deliberately chose a final representation in the woman Anne Bradstreet. She is considered as America's first poet. Now, she was part, yung kanyang family, was part of the migration among the passengers of Mayflower. Kasama siya roon na nag-migrate. So, kasama siya sa mga original na Pilgrim Fathers ng Amerika. She was married to someone who later on became governor of Massachusetts. Even her own father was a governor of Massachusetts. Then her husband became governor of Massachusetts. But between domestic duties, she wrote poems and later on compiled, it's a long title, but in summary, we consider the title The Tenth Muse. And yet, because she was a woman, eh, maraming yung attitude noon, eh, ang babae para lang sa domestic duties, this is not for her. And Anne Bradstreet resisted that. In fact, she had a verse on that kind of attitude where she said, "I am obnoxious to each carping tongue who says my hand a needle better fits a poet's pen, all scorn I should as wrong, for such despite they cast on female wits." So, nilabanan niya yung criticism on woman. But her poem, was the first one ever published, and she is considered one of the best. Here is an excerpt that shows yung kanyang Puritan conviction concerning the vanity of all worldly things. As he said, "Vanity, so vain say I, O vanity, O vain all under sky. Where is the man can say, lo, I have found on brittle earth a consolation sound? What is it in honor to be set on high? No, they like beasts, and sons of men shall die. And whilst they live, how oft doth turn their fate? Is now a captive that was king of late. Who isn't it in wealth great treasures to obtain? No, that's but labor, anxious care, and pain. He heaps up riches, and he heaps up sorrow. It's his today, but who's his heir tomorrow? Death and destruction the fame hath heard, but where and what it is from heaven's declared. It brings to honor which shall ne'er decay. It stores with wealth which time can't wear away. It yieldeth pleasures far beyond conceit, and truly beautifies without deceit. Nor strength, nor wisdom, nor fresh youth shall fade, nor death shall see but our immortal made. This pearl of price, this tree of life, this spring, who is possessed of shall reign a king. Nor change of state, nor care shall ever see, but wear his crown unto eternity. This satiates the soul, this stays the mind, and all the rest but vanity we find." So that's her Puritan conviction. And somebody commented on her, the female Puritan could be both a Puritan and a woman of great charm. So that's Anne Bradstreet. So by all these representations and examples, I want to convince you of what's best of Puritanism, because of their conviction that everything must be pursued to the glory of God. They pursued their acquisition of knowledge, whether in poetry, in theology, in profession, in whatever acquisition of knowledge, they pursued it with great commitment to God, and they excelled for it. Kaya dito natin makikita yung kombinasyon na sinasabi kong there can be scholarship while yet possessing stewardship of the faith. Belief in the supreme lordship of Christ makes for excellence in education. So my challenge to you is pursue your education with a motive of glorifying Christ, and if you do that, you will excel. Oh, I don't mean comparatively na you become the best in comparison to others. You don't have to be. You just have to do your best as God has given you the gift. And if you do that, then you will excel in whatever area of knowledge you may be called. Maaring profession, skills, arts, sciences, or theology, wherever that is, excel in it, because you are going to do that for the glory of God. That's Puritanism at its best. Any question? Mayla.
Pastor, tatanong ko lang kasi this year ay 30th year ng church natin, and sa history natin, we were once called Puritan Baptist Church.
Yes.
Pwede niyo pong bigyan ng kwento yung mga hindi nakakaalam, why the change from Puritan Baptist Church to Grace Baptist Church?
Well, dalawang uli tayo nagpalit actually. First, we were Fundamentalist Baptist Mission Church. That's our first year. Because at that time, we were a mission outreach by another church. I was sent sa UPLB noon. And at that time, reflecting our sending church, yung sending church na hindi ko na-identify, but reflecting our sending church, we called ourselves Fundamentalist Baptist Mission Church. But just over a year, we have had some theological changes in the direction of Reformed theology, and the greatest influence on that change are Puritan literature. So, pagkaraan ng isang taon na nagpa siya tayo maging independent church, reflecting at that time our theological position and the major influence on us, we then called ourselves Puritan Baptist Church. At tayo noon ay nasa context pa rin ng UPLB. We were primarily a campus ministry, at we believe that we can introduce Puritanism to students in a way that we can draw from history and from theology at hindi tayo mahihirapan. However, anong taon na ba yun? 1990s anyway, ay lumipat naman tayo sa may Tabing Riles dyan sa papuntang Mayon doon. At paglipat natin doon, we consider that being in the context now of a community that is more family, more ordinary folk rather than the campus, we considered a change because baka pagdating doon, akalain nilang yung Puritan Baptist Church ay nagtitinda ng medias at ng iba pang garments, we considered a change. And again, by the consensus of the church, we called ourselves, and since then, we are Grace Baptist Church. So, yun ang history ng pagpapalit ng ating pangalan. Yes, once we were called Puritan Baptist Church, which shows, by the way, the influence of Puritanism on us. Go ahead, Mary. Follow up. Mayla.
Connected din doon siguro, Pastor, at saka dito sa sinabi nyo na at its best, ano daw yung at its worst, ang Puritan? Are we still very Puritan in anong extent na tayo ay Puritan? Anong hindi sa Puritan na hindi tayo ganun?
Well, it's a good question. Yes, Puritanism had its negativities and through the years, ay ito rin ay nagkaroon ng self-correction. The Puritans, because they were children of their age, had their own streak of fanatical direction. Pero sila rin ang nag-correct sa sarili nila. That's the point. Now, when you learn theology the scriptural way, you correct your own negativity. It was under the Puritans that the witch hunt of Salem occurred. I think 1692 in Massachusetts. Pero Puritans din ang nag-correct noon. Nakita nila yung extremes ng kanilang ginagawa at sila yung nag-correct, nag-express ng penitence, formal asking of forgiveness. So yan yung nangyari. So we, of course, reject the negativity of Puritanism, but Puritanism at its best is what's being represented here na maganda sa ating attitude sa education. Jean?
Pastor, when we were Puritan Baptist Church, that was the time when we were in college, and I would say na naging maganda yung foundation ng those who were with us at that time in terms of education. It's just a comment dun sa, but a reflection, Pastor, dun sa nangyari sa US, na it's difficult to pass on from generation to generation yung scholarship with stewardship. Kasi looking at Harvard now, we know na ito, you know, there are camps there that oppose the very, yung kanilang, yung their very motto na that relates to Jesus Christ.
Well, that's true. Over generations, there has been a drift from the original intent and conviction of their founders, and that has been the drift of America. Hindi lang totoo sa Harvard, totoo ito ngayon sa America. While America is still considered strongly religious compared to Europe, but it's drifting away from the original convictions of its Pilgrim Fathers, and that's what happened to Harvard. But still, it is a very good educational institution, one of the best in the world, and we can still attribute it to its original founders, yung kanilang conviction concerning knowledge. And yes, there were several sa inyo na naging member when the church was still Puritan Baptist Church, and it gave, I believe, a good foundation sa mga miyembro noon. Other thoughts? Sonia?
Pastor, po, sino ang mga kilala nating preacher na masasabi nating Reform o Calvinist o kaya ay pare-pareho ba yan? Reform, Calvinism, at saka yung Puritanism? Iisa ho ba yan?
There are nuances ng pagkakaiba. Although ang common denominator sa kanila ay believer sila ng doctrines of grace, yung tinatawag nating Calvinism, the five points of the doctrines of grace are shared by Reformed, Calvinist, and Puritans. However, one thing, you can be a Calvinist without being Reformed. An example would be John MacArthur is a good Calvinistic preacher, but he's not Reformed because he is dispensationalist. Yan ang mga nuances ng theology na hindi natin matatalakay rito. Puritanism, on the other hand, is using Calvinism and Reformed theology and applying it to all of life. So yung Puritanism is broader in the sense that it describes more than theology, it describes the ethics of their vocation. Are questions? Mang Zaldi.
Since Catholicism has also the motto of veritas, the truth, they came also, yung bay nanggaling din bilang benefactors ng mga Puritans, mga benefactors, since they are veritas also. What can you say about Catholicism?
Ay, malaki pong pagkakaiba ng Puritans sa Roman Catholics, at ang Puritans nga ay mga reformers, ang ibig sabihin po niyan, ay tumiwalag sila sa paniniwala ng Roman Catholicism, umiba sila at naniwala silang dapat baguhin yung kinagisnan nilang Roman Catholicism noon. Kaya bagamat gumagamit ang Roman Catholics ng veritas na motto sa kanilang radio at iba pang mga organisasyon, it's just a claim of truth. The question is, do they really have the truth? And ang tinitindigan ng mga Puritans ay sa kanilang paniniwala, ang katotohanan ay nasa salita ng Diyos sa Biblia na hindi tinindigan ng Roman Catholic Church. So Harvard University is not a Catholic institution. It started as a Puritan institution. Mary.
Pastor, gusto ko lang po anahin sa inyo na can we have at least two or three specific major Puritans influences to become a Reformed Church? Kasi kanina parang may nabanggit kayo na mayroon kayong major Puritan influences. So parang hindi ko pa masyadong naano kung ano ba yung mga major na yun na na-mention nyo kanina.
Well, doctrinally, ang major influence sa tinindigan nating doktrina ay Puritans. Pagdating sa ating ethics, Puritan din ang major influence dyan sa ating vocation. Ibig sabihin, yung ating pagtrato sa ating mga trabaho, sa ating pag-aaral, Puritan influence din yan. So in other words, when we were a young church in the 1980s, ang major influence sa ating iglesia noon ay Puritan literature, because at that time, hindi kagaya ngayon, in the 90s as well as in the 21st century, nagdagsaan ang mga modern books na reform, which is God's blessing. But in the 80s, wala pong ganun. Ang ginagawa lang nila, nire-reprint yung mga dati ng books ng mga Puritans. That's why our major influence ay sa mga books na yun during the 80s. Kaya doctrinally, vocationally, ethically, we had our influence from Puritanism. Mayla.
Pastor, pwedeng kwentuhan nyo kami ng konti kung ano ang naging nangyari sa Harvard, na from a very good college university, anong deterioration ang nangyari and what could be accounted for that. And to cap it, halimbawa lang, going back to the, say, mga 10 years or so, at merong opportunity para, halimbawa, si Jaire papasok pa lang ng college or so, given na kaya lahat, would you send him to Harvard nung time na yon?
Well, unang ano nangyari sa Harvard, as gaya ng sinabi ko kanina, what happened to Harvard was simply a reflection of what was happening to America. America was influenced by the Enlightenment philosophy of Europe. Lumipat yan sa America, And then as a result, one of the directions was to move away from religious convictions and to separate religious convictions from scientific pursuits. So sa kanilang palagay, yung siyensya ay mas mapapalaya kung walang religious conviction. At yun ang nangyari sa, hindi lang sa Harvard, nangyari yan sa iba't ibang mga institution. Kaya nga, ang i-restore natin dito ay hindi sila dapat paghiwalayin. You can pursue scholarship with integrity, with excellence, yet possessing a stewardship of faith. Yan ang point ng series natin ito, nangyari sa Harvard at sa maraming institutions sa Amerika ay reflection ng kanilang society na pinaghiwalay yung conviction ng kanilang pananampalataya doon sa kanilang scientific pursuits. Yun ang nangyari sa Harvard. Would I send my son to Harvard? Well, if somebody gives me money, I'll send him to Harvard. Kung hindi, hanggang Harvard Street na lang siya.
Pastor, ako po. Should a Reformed Church be involved in establishing preparatory schools, yung elementary, high school? Should the church be involved?
The church may do that, but not as a matter of priority. Nakita ko po itong nangyari sa maraming iglesia na sa kanilang palagay makakatulong sila pag nagkaroon sila ng school. And what happened was, and I've seen this duplicated again and again, and that's why I have a rather cautious attitude sa bagay na yun. Ang nakita ko, nang gumawa sila ng ganyan, nabuhos yung resources, nabuhos yung concerns ng iglesia sa kanilang school. Naiwanan yung major mandates ng iglesia na evangelism, worship, spiritual maturation. Naiwanan yun because kasi pag ito'y tinutukan, talagang kukuha ito ng major funding, etc. So, only if we become a real wealthy church, we probably might consider that. But as of the moment, I think my position is to give yung scarce resources natin to the major mandates, not to schooling. Other questions? Other thoughts you'd like to share? Anong naging influence? Yes, Christian.
Pastor, can you recommend 2 or 3 works na pwede kami mag-start para ma-introduce kami sa mga Puritan writers? Although, alam ko po, mahirap yung kanilang mga English.
Well, something that you will enjoy is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Something na dapat nga sa mga bata, sa mga anak natin, ay pabasa na natin yung Pilgrim's Progress ni John Bunyan. Alam niyo bang sinabi ni John Owen? Sabi niya, "I will give all my learning if I could preach like the thinker of Bedford." He's referring to John Bunyan. So yung kanyang klase yung pag-preach, nailagay niya yan sa kanyang Pilgrim's Progress. That's a very good beginning. And then from there, go to more readable Puritans, John Flavel, etc. Ngayon, kung gusto mo ng mental torture pero very profitable, John Owen. But that's... Diyan ako nasanay na you read by clauses rather than word for word. Pag binasa mo word for word si John Owen, you'll get lost. Dahil masyado siyang... Yung kanyang major division, may iba pang division. Yung division na yun, panibagong division. May banda yatang division na nag-lunch siya. Pagbalik niya ay nawala rin siya. But very profitable when you get to accustom yourself sa reading. But there are very simple Puritans. Okay, any last thoughts? Mikaya.
Sabi po dito sa Puritanism defined that the word Puritan was originally something like abuse. Bakit po? Ano pong naging masama na tingin sa Puritans?
Well, dahil nga sa kanilang emphasis sa purity of doctrine and church life, which the Anglicans were not doing. Sila yung mapilit, sila yung nag-i-insist. And because of this, tinawag silang Puritan as a term of abuse. This was not of their origination. This was a term given to them by their enemies. Yung kanilang mga kalaban, yung itinawag sa kanila as a term of abuse. But later on, it became useful in order to describe their conviction as that of purity of doctrine and of church life. So later on ay, kumbaga, tinanggap na rin nila. Parang katulad rin ng Christian. The word Christian was given by people to the disciples of Christ. Hindi sila nag-originate. But later on, tinanggap na nila yung pangalan na yon. Ang original na ibig sabihin ng Christian is little Christ. So tinawag nila itong mga taong ito ng mga little Christ. Pero later on, tinanggap. Di ba si Peter, sinabi niya sa 1 Peter 4, if you are persecuted as a Christian, take it as an honor. So, nangyayari yan sa mga terms na nagsimula na abuse, ngunit later on, naging useful as and descriptive. Thank you.
Pasensya na, Pastor. Wala ako last week. Ito yung question na gusto kong itanong. Would you consider homeschooling as bordering to fanaticism?
No. I believe that it is a legitimate option. My worry is the other side. No, not, hindi sa church na to. I'm thankful for that. But I have felt the attitude of some homeschoolers in other contexts who treat us, who send our children to public school, as compromisers. Fortunately, not in this church, but I have felt that attitude from others. So, as far as I'm concerned, wala akong problema sa ganyan na if you take as an option homeschooling, I hope, on the other hand, the homeschoolers will not treat those of us who opt for public or private school as compromising. So, sa akin, hindi fanaticism yun, as I hope the homeschoolers will not treat my personal choice as compromise.
Kanina na mention yung Pilgrim's Progress na book. Naalala ko lang yung The Holy War, kasi parang hindi siya masyadong naririnig kagaya ng The Pilgrim's Progress. So, anong masabi mo doon sa Holy War?
I have John Bunyan's complete works, which includes all the allegories, and next to The Pilgrim's Progress is The Holy War. Ang maganda niyang ginawa, it's a story that revolves around a city which he called Mansoul. At yung Mansoul, parang napaka-obvious kung ano nire-represent. Mansoul has 5 gates. Eye gate, ear gate, etc. Mansoul as a city has its secretary, recorder, conscience. Now, Mansoul was attacked by Diabolus. And so, kumbaga, ginamit niya yung allegory na yun to describe man in his rebellion, but then later on, recovered and restored. So it's a good allegory. You can learn a lot of lessons from the Holy War. You also have the story of Mr. Badman and other allegories by John Bunyan. But besides allegories, John Bunyan has a lot of straightforward treatises. Sabihin, one that has helped me a lot is his treatise on the fear of God. And then the value of the soul, and many such things that he did. But Bunyan is a good start for Puritan reading.
Bim? Ito ay patanong. Ano daw ang masasabi mo sa pagtuturo ng religion sa mga eskwelahan?
Sa mga sectarian school, karapatan nila yon. Kung ang school ay funded, for example, ng isang Methodist Church or Catholic Church at silang nagpupondo, may karapatan sila na magturo. Ang sasabihin ko lang ay bigyan nila ng kalayaan yung mga estudyante. So, make it a matter of liberty of conscience. So, pero in public schools, I am against that. Because ang public school ay nirarun by the tax of the citizens. Ay, sino tayo magtuturo ng particular religious conviction which is not representing the conviction of all taxpayers. So, yun lang point ko na in public schools, magturo tayo ng good manners and right conduct, pero wag naman ay particular religious position. In sectarian schools, yes. Public schools, no. Last question, Melvin. Then Myla, and then last.
Pastor, ano pong pagkakaiba ng strict Baptist sa Puritan?
Nang alin?
Strict Baptist.
Well, during my during our vacation, I preached consecutively in a church known as Strict Baptist Church of Watisham. Ang Strict Baptist Church, hindi po yan ibig sabihin na mabagsik at ma... Strict is a reference to their position on the Lord's Supper. Because Baptists divided during the 17th century, they divided on the issue of the Lord's Supper. So you have the Strict Baptists, particular Baptists, General Baptists. And yung word na yon nagre-refer sa kanilang position sa Lord's Supper. Strict Baptists, they only allow baptized believers to partake of the Lord's Supper. Non-strict Baptists would allow, ibig sabihin, yung Presbyterian, hindi siya immersed, pero member siya ng isang evangelical church, they would allow that. In that sense, we are not strict Baptists because we would allow even non-Baptists who are Christians in good standing in their church to partake of our Lord's Supper as long as we know them. Pero yung strict Baptist ay talagang yun lang baptized, meaning Baptists ang kanilang i-allow na magpartake. We had a Lord's Supper one Sunday doon sa strict Baptist church na yun. Ako ang preacher, ako ang nag-lead. Alam yung ginagawa niya sa Lord's Supper doon. Binuhos ko yung alak from nasa bottle pa sa isang malaking cup at pinagpasa-pasa yung cup. That one cup was passed around. Fortunately, the preacher was first and I was the preacher. So unang-una ako yung nakahinga. Hindi ko alam kung pang ilan si Bimbim noon. At ang pinakahuli, pagkatapos na ng lahat, the deacons. Kaya kung gawin natin yan dito, baka magkakasakit ang mga deacons natin. And yung mga nagpa-partake, the average age I suppose was 60. Yes, Myla.
Pastor, kung nasa sapatos kayo ni Richard Baxter sa panahon ngayon.
Sandals pa nun eh.
Sandals pala, sorry. At sinusulat nyo ang Christian Directory, particularly on vocation. Paano nyo sasabihin sa ating mga kabataan yung mensahe? Would you give a list of courses to take, not to take, schools not to go to?
Well, I'll give general principles, which I think was what Baxter was doing. Yung sinabi niyang mga take pleasure in your work, pero hindi niya sinabi na ito ang work na gunin niyo, ganyan niyang work. So, hindi specifics, he was giving principles, which I think is the right way to do. May tinatawag ang mga Puritans na casuistry. Casuistry is cases of conscience. Paano ka magdi-deal kapag mayroon kang ganitong problema, may ganito kang suliranin, how do you deal with that? And yun ang kanilang cases of conscience. So, sa pag-apply natin ito, gayahin natin ang mga Puritans sa kanilang commitment pagdating sa gawin ang lahat ng mga bagay sa ikaluluwalhati ng Diyos. Now, hindi ka ma- we don't say that you will become another John Milton or another Anne Bradstreet, but the list that we expect of a person committed to do everything to the glory of God is that he and she will excel wherever knowledge is pursued. That's Puritanism at its best. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami na meron kaming mapagkukunang halimbawa sa kasaysayan ng mga taong ang kanilang ginawa ay para sa iyong ikaluluwalhati at naiangkop nila ito sa larangan ng kaalaman, sa larangan ng edukasyon. Naway maging magbuting huwaran ito sa amin at hamunin kami na sa amin ding pagkakataon na ng edukasyon ay gawin namin para sa iyong ikapupuri at sa iyong ikaluluwalhati. At tulungan mo na sa paggawa nito ay tunay kaming maging mahusay ayon sa talento at pangakaloob na iyong ibinibigay sa amin. Grant that we will continue to stand upon these convictions that the Puritans have stood for, that of doing everything to the glory of God, believing in the sovereignty of God, and believing that the real foundation of all knowledge is the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us in the application of this. We pray for our students that you may give them every skill and talent that they need, but above all, the commitment to do everything to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.